It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A special meeting's been called to look at spiking food prices.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us here in the United States. Huge wildfires and a drought in Russia caused that country to ban grain sales. The jump in price caused food riots in Africa this week, and a food agency at the United Nations says there's danger the violence could get worse. Peter Van Dyke reports from Moscow.
Russia's government had made no secret that it wanted to displace the United States as the world's top grain exporter. But after the hottest and driest summer on record, right now the government simply wants to make sure that Russians have enough bread to eat. Prime Minister Vladimir Putin last month banned grain exports through the end of this year, and he has now announced nothing will leave the country until after the 2011 harvest. Dmitry Rilko heads Moscow's Institute for Agricultural Market Studies. He says the ban is good for U.S. farmers.
It could be considered as some type of help to Americans, to Europeans, and to other exporters. This decision was extremely painful. In my view, there was no other solution.
Russia's grain exports jumped almost 20-fold in the past decade, pushing global wheat prices down. But with the ban on exports in place well into next year, recent price rises should remain, and with them, the threat of more riots like those seen this week in Mozambique. For Marketplace, I'm Peter Van Dyke in Moscow.
British oil giant BP said today the cost of the cleanup in the Gulf of Mexico oil spill has topped $8 billion. BP shares are up about 0.33% in London trading today. Other European stocks are higher as well. Markets on the continent are up, generally 0.5% or less right now. Asian shares closed mostly higher today as well, still bolstered by better-than-expected manufacturing and jobless claims reports this week. The Dow yesterday climbed 0.5%, 50 points, to close at 10,320. Well, it's Friday, but a new study in the UK shows fewer Brits will be partaking of a pint at the local pub tonight. The global downturn, says the report, is curbing Britain's appetite for alcohol. Reporter Christopher Worth filed this report from London.
At the Pride of Spitalfields pub in East London, bartender Karen Brown proudly lists the local beers on tap.
Brewer's Gold, Doombell, Fuller's London Pride and Fuller's ESB. The pub's been here over 200 years. Obviously, I haven't.
But despite their long tradition, pubs like these are now closing at a rate of 40 every week, and things may only get worse. A new study shows that through the economic downturn over the past year, alcohol consumption dropped by 6%, the biggest decline since 1948. Neil Williams is with the British Beer and Pub Association.
Well, it certainly had a big impact on pubs, particularly because beer and pubs are so closely linked here in the UK.
He says higher taxes on alcohol and campaigns for responsible drinking are also factors in the drop-off. But advocates for moderation cite statistics that show binge drinking is on the rise. They've even proposed setting minimum prices on alcohol. That would mean Britons would likely drink even less. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com. American Public Media presents Marketplace Minute, supported by Yellow Book 360. Tune in every Friday for Bill Radke's poetic take on the week's news in 60 seconds, available at marketplace.org.
Everybody loves some peace and quiet, but acquiring quiet is harder for some than others. Vermont Public Radio reporter Jane Lindholm considers the cost of noise.
Living in rural Vermont, this is what I generally hear when I come home from work in the afternoon. Yes, crickets. When I moved from Los Angeles 3 years ago, I was looking forward to this kind of peace and quiet.
What I wasn't expecting to hear was a death metal band setting up shop in my basement at the invitation of my landlady.
It's 4:15 on a Friday, and this is what it sounds like in my apartment. That would be the vocals.
Noise reaches the pain threshold at 140 decibels, and the loudest rock concerts hover around 135 decibels. The heavy metal I experienced may not have been technically painful. It was just bad music. But it doesn't take physical pain for noise to be more than a nuisance. Every year, noise contributes to millions of dollars in lost wages and medical bills. Noise is a proven contributor to high blood pressure, cardiovascular problems, and sleep deprivation. Noise researcher Garrett Kaiser says people living near train tracks and highways may not think their sleep is being disturbed, but noise could still be making them ill.
So you could get up in the morning and say, well, it didn't bother me, I got a good night's sleep, but it still elevated your blood pressure.
In his book, The Unwanted Sound of Everything We Want, Kaiser says noise is an economic, social, and health issue, and one that disproportionately affects the powerless, like kids, the elderly, and the poor.
Some of us have more choice, so we can enjoy the exhilaration of Midtown Manhattan, take in a Broadway show or a rock concert, and then retire to our quiet homes. But there are others who do not have much choice in terms of their acoustic environment.
In my case, a quick call to the landlady and a trip to the basement to kick out the death metal band put an end to my noise disturbance, making room for a much more pleasant one. Coyotes howl almost every night around my house now that the death metal band is gone. In Charlotte, Vermont, I'm Jane Lindholm for Marketplace.
And finally, all the news of the week in a neat little poem we call the Marketplace Minute. Here's Bill Radke.
Despite the economic crash, corporations have lots of cash. Hey, how about some hiring? Nope, they're just acquiring each other. Sanofi Aventis went for Genzyme, that's momentous. Intel, 3M, Hertz are buying. HP2, and Dell is trying. Bernanke says the holy grail would be to end too big to fail. I don't mean him any malice, but King Arthur never found that chalice. The thought of an oil explosion was chilling, not least for the people who do the drilling. And Double Rainbow Guy is willing to do some video software shilling. Don't know the rainbow? It's worth a look-see at marketplace.org.
Marketplace is Bill Radke. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.